Hello and welcome to the Vet Blast podcast. I am your host, Dr. Adam Christman, Chief Veterinary Officer here at Fetch DVM 360. All right, welcome back, my friends, to the Vet Blast podcast. You know, this I said this on one of the shows last time, but the power of the veterinary degree is so strong. And, you know, there is, we're going to say to the left, and professional pivoting, right, Dr. Bowens?
That's right, Dr. Christman.
Thank you, my friend. So with me is Dr. Priscilla Bowens, and she is wonderful. You probably have seen her at our virtual Fetch conferences. She's wonderful with what she's done with her lectures, as well as her moderating. And if you haven't gotten to know her, now you will. So in the pursuit of innovation, where diversity is highly valued, Dr. Priscilla Bowens brings a rich background as a 14-year licensed veterinarian, internationally published public health researcher, health preparedness. Oh, there we go. Health preparedness.
Getting ready for tornadoes and storms and everything.
Well, you need to work where you're at too, of course, right?
Yes.
Texas. Yes. And as well, everyone, she's an attorney, so a healthcare legal counsel. So in her role as senior corporate counsel, Dr. Bowens helps cause-driven businesses exceed corporate stakeholder and societal objectives by providing regulatory reviews, leadership counsel, functional leadership, advice on commercial contracts, risk management, and compliance expertise. As a veterinarian, Dr. Bowens developed broad leadership experience leading diverse teams in the rigorous compliance-based practice of veterinary care as a small animal practitioner in general practice and emergency medicine and surgery. Dr. Bowens received her law degree from the University of Texas at Austin, her master's of public health degree from the University of Florida, and her BS degree from Tuskegee University.
Hey, I got to represent for everybody.
Right, I love it. This is fantastic. Throughout the course of her career, she has written several articles on topics including opioid epidemic, food safety and standards, and human healthcare services delivering models. She also has given presentations on diversity, equity, and inclusion, technology, board rules compliance, practice mitigation, and risk reduction strategies. My goodness, it's wonderful. What a career, my friend. And wait, am I wrong? Is there another Dr. Bowens in the house?
Yeah, we'll have to give him some credit and a shout out. My wonderful husband, Dr. Antonio Bowens, who is a fellowship and residency trained in neurology and neurosurgery. He did that in Zurich, Switzerland, and drugged me, poor me, over to Switzerland as a 20-some-year-old. But he loves neurosurgery. He loves business, has a great business mind. And so he graduated a few years before me and was able to be the first Bowens veterinarian in the family. But I caught up.
That's wonderful. He's a wonderful man too. We're so glad that he's in our profession, and he's been on the show to our listeners. So you got to, like, I think he's like maybe 10 episodes back. So you got to take a listen to his episode. It's great. And we're going to have him on the show again too. He's just a wonderful speaker. So we're looking forward to that. All right, my friend. So, you know, we're talking about to the left, professional pivoting, and, you know, to our listeners, they may say, well, I don't know. What does that mean? Well, why don't we, I guess, first, like, scale it back a little bit and talk about, like, the culture of our profession. So talk to us a little bit about that, where we're at.
Yes. So I get questions all the time that stem from, you know, how can we improve veterinary medicine? And it really revolves around the culture here. So, you know, just to give you an example, I get emails from recruiters, say, on LinkedIn about positions at hospitals. And, you know, they'll say, I have this great position, it's a great base, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm like, okay, what's a great base? And, you know, I'll see the number and I tell them, I say, hey, it's going to take a lot. It will take a lot for me to go back into the clinic. And that's no slight against my colleagues in practice. But because of the culture that we have, and when I say that, I mean the culture surrounding mental health and veterinary medicine, the culture surrounding pay. Because we go to school for a long time and a lot of us have loans to pay and we're doctors, so we should get paid as such. The culture around clients, and a lot of people don't like to say it, but it's like the elephant in the room. Some veterinarians face client abuse. And what I mean by that is people who, while we have a lot of people who love us and love our profession, a lot of people just view us as being in it for the money. And that's not why hardly anybody I know went to vet school. They realize you could get paid, but it wasn't about that. So there's an elephant in the room where we don't like to say we've created and allowed this culture to develop over time. And now the newer generation is pushing back and saying they don't want it. They want to go from 9 to 5. They don't want to do any on calls. And it's understandable, but where will we go from here if that's the state of the profession, if we're moving in that direction and they can't hire enough veterinarians? What are we going to do? And so that's what we mean.
Yeah, it's really fascinating because I know we were talking before the interview and we were saying that, you know, these newer graduates come out and you're right. I mean, they're looking for that work-life integration. It's important, don't get me wrong. And then I guess there's a component where we're worried about the culture of the general practitioner in general. You know, are we shipping things too much? You know, we're referring things out, and these, you know, underlying, threats to the general practitioner are of concern. So, you know, what would you say to the new graduate that's looking for a job right now?
So if you're a new graduate and you're looking for a job as a general practitioner, you really need to do your research. Think about what you really want. Because you are going into a profession where there's a big gender difference. Even when I came out 15 years ago, there are even more women out there. And a lot of those women do want to have a life outside of vet med, whether that's their hobbies, whether that's having a family. And so, what type of environment will you be going in? Is this independently owned practice? Is this a corporate practice? Because just being honest, you know, veterinary is a cash-based business. And you look at the rate of which private equity groups have just snapped up these hospitals. And, you know, a lot of them come with the gloss that they are all about the doctor and the staff and want to make sure that everybody's happy. But at the end of the day, it's kind of like trickle-down economics. It doesn't always trickle down to the exam room. It doesn't trickle down to the surgery room or where the techs are doing their intake. So you need to research what type of culture are you getting into. And I'll take it even further back. If you're a pre-vet student and you're listening to this podcast, you really need to do your due diligence. And what I mean by that is get in those hospitals, get some time and talk to the doctors and see if this is what you want to do long-term, because the field is changing.
Mm-hmm. It is changing. And, you know, to the pre-vet students, you're right. I start networking early, you know, start building your network early, mentorship early, get the expertise and guidance that you need early on. So that way you can be the best veterinarian when you do come out of vet school and see what is the best fit for you. And to that point, you and I have something very common, is the fact that we have done a pivot within our golden degree of veterinary medicine. So why don't you first share a little bit about your experience and what you've done, and then we can kind of give some pointers to those that might be interested in pivoting.
Sure. So I love all of my veterinary colleagues. I think we are so amazing. We bring such a level of love to a profession that a lot of people don't necessarily have when they go into it. We just talked about that. And then you can take it a step further and become even more of a unicorn, like yourself, Adam, and myself. And when I say unicorn, you know, you have your MBA, and you've been able to pivot. I actually have my my law degree, public health, master's in public health as well. But the big pivot was the law degree, because it's completely different from a science background. And I did this after 10 years in the profession. And so what I would say is that it's never too late. If you feel something calling you to look around in the profession, even if you want to specialize, you've been in 10 years, if you want to go MBA, JD, there are plenty of opportunities. So I didn't look at the book, I think it's What Color Is My Parachute, but I did some soul searching as I was traveling along my road as a DVM, and said, what would I like to do? What would I like to do long-term? And don't let anyone discourage you and say, well, are you sure you can do that? Of course you can do it. You got your DVM, so you can do anything you want to do, but make sure it's right for you. And if you have a family, talk with your family about it. And see, you know, what impact that will play on them. I actually was married and had my first daughter when I went to law school, which was crazy now that I think about it. Yeah. the fact that I survived. So you have to think about the impact, not only on yourself, but if you have your loved ones around you, even parents or things like that, how are you going to afford it? But look at the opportunities. I saw myself as not only increasing my knowledge base, not only doubling or tripling my salary as a doctor, But what could the addition of a law degree, how could that set me apart? And when I was interviewing for jobs as an attorney, of course, everybody wants to talk about your animals. So that's an easy, an easy conversation starter, but it makes you unique. So I would say, if you have interest in other areas, don't be afraid. And that's not even saying go back to school. You can do a certificate in something, a training in something. You can do that in, through your volunteer work. It doesn't have to be a cost. So that's what I would encourage. I would encourage members of our profession to do.
Yeah, I agree. You know, it's tough to do because those that are listening, you probably think to yourself, like, I don't have time for that. I'm so busy working now. But it's like, it's nice to have like a vision board. And I really believe in having those things to see like, and you, to our listeners, you may be very well, perfectly happy with what you're doing, which is fantastic. Right. But we as human species, sometimes we like to evolve and change a little bit and still provide meaning and impact to our communities and what we're doing to the profession. And so, you know, by you doing the law degree, you know, me having my MBA degree, like it was a next chapter that I felt like that was right. And surrounding yourself by real people is what I call it too, not yes people, you know, like that keep it real with you and say, yeah, I think that's a great idea versus I'm like, oh yeah, you're so wonderful. Like, I don't need to be people around people that are going to elevate me like that. Like
some people need that in their lives.
Right? Like, tell me to keep it real. Like, is this a great career change? Is this right for me? You know, like talk to your friends and your colleagues about maybe if you're considering going out of practice and going into industry or vice versa. I think there's so many things that we can do. That I just spoke with a veterinarian last week and she completely pivoted from small animal to zoo.
Oh, and, awesome.
Right. And I just thought, again, like think about our degree. There's so many species that we can cover. So she had a huge passion for conservation medicine and she's going for it. And, you know, she wants to take her boards in zoo medicine, but for right now she's working at a zoo. She finds that fascinating and very fulfilling. So again, it just goes to show you like our degree is just endless.
You just said it. What's your passion? What's your passion? And I kind of went out a little bit around in there when I described it, but basically that's what I was saying was really stop, look, and listen. And you can apply that to all areas of your life. Stop, take a moment to reflect. We go so fast. I remember working in the hospital as a GP, as an emergency doctor. You're always on the go. You don't have time. We don't make time. We don't make enough time, you know, for ourselves, but stop, look around, see what's going on. Don't keep your head down, like, you know, your nose to the grindstone all the time and listen to what's going on. But you have to follow your passion as much as your life will allow. But, you know, we're going through a pandemic. We're almost through it. And so a lot of people have realized that they need to go do something else. They don't want to stay on whatever grind that they were on. So it's never too late and life is too short not to follow your passion.
It's so true, Priscilla. Life is too short. Never get a second chance at shoulda, woulda, coulda. And if there was a silver lining with this horrific pandemic is that it did give great pause to us as human species to really self-reflect. You hear that all the time. Somebody's learning to speak another language. They were reading good books, whatever. They're taking up hobbies. And I find that our profession has really done a great internal self-reflection and realizing there are other alternatives for me to do within this career. Like, yeah, I would like to do something else. I would like to go into emergency medicine or whatever it is. So never give up on that, my friends that are listening, because what Priscilla and myself have gone through, we're living testimonials of like doing that stop, listening to ourselves, taking a moment, a pause. I mean, you've gone it with your husband, with your daughter at the time through law school. And it just shows how passionate you are about that. I love that.
Yeah, passionate, and you stay the course no matter what. Obviously, catastrophic events may cause you to, you know, change course and not complete whatever your passion is. But it's about the fortitude to finish. You don't always have to finish at the top. You don't even always have to finish at the middle. But it's that passion that drives you and that that why. Always have your why. Why are you doing this? For yourself, for someone else, to honor someone that you love. So having that passion, that fortitude, and you're always having your why, I think that gets you a long way down the road.
Yeah, finding your why is super, super important too. And I just want to touch about the moment that you made that pivot change. How did you feel when you kind of took that leap of faith and did it?
I'll be honest, I was scared. I was scared. Would like to say that I was very blessed from being a young child and being able to adapt. I consider myself as having a high learning agility. I always did well in school, made good grades. But to be honest, I was scared because it was a completely new field for me. Even though my dad is an attorney, he didn't sit down and walk me through law school and say, here's what you need to know. That did not happen. So what I would say is do life scared. Look for the no's. So, you know, I went into it scared and saying, you know, hearing people saying, well, I'll be honest, you know, I'm going to be on a diversity panel soon with Fetch and we'll talk about that briefly. But a lot of people were saying, you know, the Black students didn't belong at the University of Texas. This is a top T14 for anybody that knows about law school rankings. This is a top law school. And there were only like, I don't know, 1% of us who were African-American out of 290 people in the class. But people would say that we didn't belong, that I did not belong there because of the color of my skin still. And this was in 2016 or 2013. So being scared and nervous, but knowing, and some people had to keep me, I almost quit law school. A lot of people don't know that. After my first semester, I could not understand. I'm a big picture person. So I was like, why are we talking about cases from 1845? That's not practical. Somebody with a hairy hand, like, what does that have to do with anything? So just like you said, having a village around you to tell you the truth, good and bad, and just staying the course. Because I started scared, but I finished with a law degree, and I'm glad I did it.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, look at me now.
Look at me now.
Look at me now.
Back then, they didn't want me. Now I'm hot.
You know, it's so unfortunate. And like, let's talk about that too. You know, so you are gonna be, you've been moderating these wonderful panel discussions with us at Fetch DBM 360. And, you know, we're really trying to kind of move the needle a little bit in discussions about the lack of diversity that's happened, that is in our profession. So talk to us about that. How does that make you feel, being that this is, you're in a different position than, you know, you haven't done this before. So how does that feel that you have this platform?
I am extremely grateful, definitely grateful to you, Adam, for seeing that in me, for reaching out to me, and thankful to the company, MJH Life Sciences, for believing in this type of program. I even understand that the keynote will be about diversity from Dr. Pam Hale, and I'm so excited for that. I will say on our panel, we get a chance to, I'll say, keep it real. We have real discussions. Nothing is off the table. We've even had some comments, varied comments from our colleagues out there. And so it's an opportunity for people to really, the panelists, to talk about their experiences, their hopes for the future, and for the participants, the attendees, to really dig in. And so I encourage you, if you're in the veterinary profession and you need to get some CEs, because that's all coming back due again. Now we're coming out of the pandemic. So go ahead and sign up for Fetch and get your C's now. Yeah. But it's an amazing opportunity to discuss an issue that's always been an issue, but we're finally speaking to it and coming up with solutions for it in 2021 and 20 and on. So
yeah. And I love that I think of myself in your shoes, because here you are as a moderator facilitating these great discussions. And to our listeners, just to give you some background, she sat in on vet students. She had a great discussion with diversity and inclusion, equity with the vet students. Then we also had a discussion on industry thought leaders too within the profession. And then she's going to have another discussion with veterinarians in academia as well as in practice. So I just think it's really great that we have that diversity within the profession.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. Yeah. It's an amazing opportunity. And I really appreciate DBM 360 for allowing me to facilitate.
Oh, no. Thank you for what you're doing. It's fantastic.
See? 1, 2, 3.
All right. We love you so much. So where can we find more information? Are you on LinkedIn? Where can we find some info about you?
Yes, I am on LinkedIn. You can look me up under Priscilla Bowens. And then I am also on Instagram. I've not been as active lately because I've been being mommy and full-time worker while hubby is traveling. So I have to do what I have to do. Those are the primary areas where you can reach me. My email address is on my LinkedIn page if you want to talk offline. And I look forward to connecting with you. Please feel free to do so. I'm always open to making connections, and I hope to meet some of you in person at some point if if I'm invited to a in-person DVR.
You know you are. You know you are. Wait, I also got to give another shout out, because when we did the virtual fetch to our listeners, Dr. Bowens gave some talks on legal matters.
Yes.
And that was the highest. Did you know? I don't know if I told you this. That was the highest. The Q&A session that you're in was the highest Q&A session that we had for Fetch. That's how many questions people had about your wonderful talks about, you know, just to the listeners, you can email Dr. Bowens, because legal matters was really important back there. Virtual care, like all those different things. So yeah, it was great. So thank you for answering those questions.
Well, thank you. I will give credit to, I think we had an internist on for helping bump those numbers. Yeah. But we had quite a few. I was actually pleasantly surprised. We had quite a few legal questions. They're out there. People have interest. So yes, it was a great opportunity. Thank you so much, Adam.
Oh, of course, my friend. Thank you so much. And thank you for being on the Vet Blast podcast.
Thank you. Y'all have a good one.
Thank you for listening to the Vet Blast podcast with me, Dr. Adam Christman. Tune in next time. Remember, take care of your animals and always stay pawsome.